Praise the Lord. Were you blessed yesterday morning and evening? So this morning, I want to teach on something I've titled Refreshed by Devotion. Glory. So yesterday we said refreshing means three major things. Number one, times and seasons in God. Number two, emphasis, re-emphasis of doctrinal conviction. And number three, the move of the Spirit. Acts 3 verse 19, which was the anchor verse for the emphasis on times and refreshing, says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of God." Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing. So we explained yesterday that refreshing is a time and season in God. Amen. And we said, how do you take advantage of a season of refreshing, of a new time, a new season where God is doing something new, more opportunities, open doors, rekindling? What do you do? We said you should be sensitive spiritually, right? We said you have to be sensitive spiritually, open your heart. You have to be in sync with God. As it were, when that verse begins with, "Repent ye therefore," he's saying, get serious. When he says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted," he's saying, get serious. Realign yourself with God. And one of the ways to realign yourself with God is by devotion. Say after me, devotion. Ah, my God. Devotion. Say after me, devotion. So one of the first ways to realign yourself is by devotion. Say after me, devotion. Psalms chapter 1 from verse 1. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord." Say after me, the law of the Lord. "And in his law doth he meditate day and night." Now everybody read verse 3. Psalms chapter 1. It says, "Blessed be the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit in" what? "His season." Read it again one more time. "And it shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." I want to hear you. Did you see that? Now, remember we said that times of refreshing refers to a new season, right? So see what he's saying here. That the man that meditates on the word of God day and night, he will be like the tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. So that means, even if it's your season, if you are not planted by the river, you will not produce fruits. Are you seeing this? So, your season can come. God can usher in a new season for you. But if the word of God has not become your delight, such that you are planted by the river, the due season may come and fruit will not come out. Are you seeing this? This is so serious. I'm telling you, a season can come, but the energy to drive through that season, the wisdom to take advantage of that season, praise the Lord, it will not be there because the person is not planted by the river of water. So you see, devotion is an important thing. You will see it. As we look further, you will see it. He says, "His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." That means he has a lifestyle of the word of God. Tell your neighbor, this thing is a marathon. This thing is a marathon. Let me tell you something. I think it is us ministers that fall into this trap the most. If you are not careful, you can only learn the word of God to preach. If you are not careful, you may not have any time of devotion with the Lord except you have a preaching engagement. Are you with me? In his law doth he meditate day and night. So that means if you hear Paul speak, Paul will say, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the spirit and of power. That means Paul got to the point where you cannot separate his daily speaking from the gospel he was preaching. Are you with me? You could not separate his daily speaking. I'm telling you, some people, they are only spiritual in church. Outside church, you even hear the way they talk. You know something is wrong. Praise the Lord. In his law, he meditates day and night. Because I've come to discover that you can't really time God. God really has his way of doing things. And if you are not really set, you may not be able to sense some things. See, have you ever been saying something like this before? That many times, some spiritual things are not taught, they are caught, right? So, there is a way the word of God will be in your spirit. You cannot explain how you know, but you know. Praise the Lord. You cannot explain how you just went there, but you went there. Because the word of God has refreshed you. You are in sync with God. Let me hear you say, see, in sync with God. In Abuja, we are using a studio for church. And the Lord said we should go to a bigger hall. And I and I saw we're driving around Kariki, driving around Area 1, driving around Area 10, looking for a hall, looking for a bigger space. Then one day, I was just meditating in the morning. And a hall that I used like 6 years ago for a meeting in Abuja, it just hits me. Call this person. Now, I was told that hall, some weeks before that time, I was told that hall was not available. That it was used by some other people for something else. But you know when the word of God enters you, you can just pick, this is my season. So I picked up my phone. I called the director. The director said, Pastor David, how have you been? I said, I've been fine. He said, when are you coming to our hall to use for church? I said, I wanted to call you now. So, oh God, they have been following me. You can imagine. And we got there, the hall was free. And we just moved in. Which bringeth forth his fruit in due season. A time comes in your life where you are just in sync with God. Because, you see, God can show up when you are not expecting. Ah, my God. What I'm saying, God can show up when you are not expecting. And you must be in sync with him. Ah, yeah. I just pray you understand what I'm saying in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Look at Matthew 25. Matthew 25 from verse 1. Can you imagine driving a car without oil? After a while, what will happen? The engine will knock. And the car will start malfunctioning. This was one of the pictures God used to paint this thing for me. Sometimes, the oil in some people's hearts, in their work with God, the grease has finished, but they are still going on. And they cannot explain. Many of you have gone to that point in your life where you are just cranky. You can't really explain why you are cranky. You are just worried. You cannot explain why you are worried. You are just somehow. They ask you, what is the problem? You cannot even say, this is the problem. Are you with me? Usually, it is because devotion has been neglected. You just feel dry. You just feel empty. You cannot explain why. Before you go to Matthew 25, let's look at Jeremiah 2 verse 13. You just feel dry and just cranky and somehow. Let me tell you something. There are too many Christians in this state. Too many Christians that are looking for something else to excite them out of Christianity. One of the signs that you are healthy spiritually, it is that you derive your joy from knowing and serving the Lord. I'm telling you, when you go in evangelism, you know, there's a sister that joined Abuja Church. She was telling me something. So now, before she joined the church, she was born again, speaking in tongues. Somehow, by supernatural revelation, somehow, God orchestrated her steps. She told me something. She said, I don't know what people did to me in this church. But after following the sermons and listening to the messages, I have become so serious about evangelism. This morning she tweeted, she said, anybody that does not evangelize, the problem is that he does not know Jesus. He said, if you know Jesus, you must talk about him. This is somebody that, before, on that day, you see her with nose ringo. And me, I don't have a problem with that. Are you with me? My only problem is I don't just put ring everywhere. Somebody that you say, this kind of babe, evangelizing tea. At a point, she had to tell me, what did you do to me? You know why? Refreshing has come and the engine is running. The problem with our generation, we are used to abnormal that we don't even know what normal looks like. We don't know what normal looks like. I heard a story, and my father-in-law repeated it recently, but I've heard a story a long time ago. How that Baba Adeboye and Baba Kumuyi, they went for a conference in 1976. Now, I heard that story far back as maybe my secondary school. 1976, they went for a conference in Kenya, a Christian conference in Kenya. And it was for pastors. Early morning, before the conference started, because everywhere was rowdy, they would go to the toilet to go and read their Bible, just to read the Bible and have personal morning devotion. You see this thing we are doing in our generation? Every devotion is online. There's nothing wrong with it. Everybody's praying. There's nothing wrong with it. But if you are not careful, I personally have an issue why devotion is just prayers. Normal devotion, the way the old people taught us, it is prayer, worship, and Bible study. Well, let's go on. And so, after the conference, before the conference, he entered his own toilet to read the Bible. Then, after a while, Adeboye said he discovered that he heard another person's voice inside another toilet. He was like, I thought I was the only one here. So he read the Bible and was praying under his breath. Read the Bible again, read again. Then when he was done, he came out. The other person came out too. And they both saw themselves with Bibles in their hands. They both came for devotion. Guess the other person, Kumuyi. No, see, if you see that simple discipline of reading the Bible, many of you have tried it, where you woke up and said, today let me all read the Bible. You felt like somebody just put fresh water on you. Has it happened before? But you will see a Christian go on for months. For months. You know, the Lord told me something one time. He said, part of the major issues with your generation, people want deep. People want higher things, but simple things you have not learned. I was with a senior man of God in this country, Archbishop Amaga, in his office. He told me something. He said, your generation has, how did he put it? He said, you will have many innovations, which is good. You will have many insights, much insight, which is good, but you lack depth. That's what he said. He said, that depth is going to be tried over time. If you stay long enough, like we've stayed, you will see things that, you know, this one, my depth has been tried. Your depth will be tested. I'm telling you, there are things that will happen to you if you're not careful. You know, it's easy to criticize atheists and say, they don't, why would somebody say there is no God? I'm telling you, there is what we face. If you're not careful, you say there is no God. Did you hear what I said? There's what we face, you will say there is no God. You need some sort of rock solid devotion within your spirit, man, to carry you through. And let me tell you, eventually, Baba Idausa was alive, there's something he used to say. He used to say, every 10 years reveals a spiritual story. What did he say? He said, every 10 years reveals a spiritual story. Eventually, it is what is your spirit that will come out. No, I can deceive all of you, but eventually, it is what is inside me, over the years that will come out. The Bible says in Galatians 6 from verse 1. Let's read that one. So first of all, do we open to Jeremiah 2 verse 13? Have we opened it? Have we read it? Let's read it so that I can just move on from there. You know, somebody asked me one day, he said, all these teachings that you do in New Breed, how does it happen? I said, the Bible says every rabbi of the kingdom is like a good man with treasure that brings forth treasures in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the night. Jeremiah 2, verse 13. Without any iota of pride, if you wake me up in the morning, say, Pastor David, wake up. Go to crusade ground. We'll go. We all wake up. Wake up. Let's go and preach. Like that, let's go. It says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn them out cisterns. Cisterns that can hold what? No water. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewed out cisterns. Ah, Jesus. Let me tell you, from time to time, you need to review your heart. You need to check yourself. What is taking the place of God in my heart? What is taking the place of God in my heart? This thing is serious. This thing is serious. When last did I stay with the word of God and just love on God? When last did I read my Bible and pray without any external force pushing me? Praise the Lord. For some people, their phone is the broken system that can hold no water. Somebody's looking and say, Pastor, why? I will shout at this table, their phone. Some people TV, some people gist. Some people, it is a relationship. They are carried away. I was telling a young man, he was like, Pastor, we need to propose this year. It's like proposal wind is flying everywhere. I say, my guy, I'm married though. I have a child. But listen, I feel like I should have enjoyed my singlehood more. Even though I did. But I'm like, yeah. Thank God, there are things I did then. I'm grateful that I had time to do it. Proconsistence. Let me tell you, eventually at the end of the day, you will discover that nothing else can satisfy you outside God. Nothing else. Praise the Lord. Go to Galatians 6. From Galatians 6, we'll go to Matthew 25. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Jump to verse 6. That ye are in all good things. Verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, the reason I read verse 1 is that you get the context of be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you read this verse out of the context of verse 1, you may think the sowing and reaping here is money and cash. Are you with me? You may think that the sowing here is money and cash. Oh, if you give 10,000, God will give you 100,000. Do we believe in seed sowing? Yes. Do we sow seed? I think we sow seeds every day. As a church, we sow seeds every day. But read the next verse. Verse 8 now. Verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Hallelujah. So that means every time you come to church, anytime you are doing a business with God, you are sowing to your spirit. And eventually, what you have sown in your spirit. So now, this verse redefines the previous verse. The sowing and reaping here is not money. The sowing and reaping is investment in your spirit. Investment in your spirit. I talk about these things because, let me tell you something. I asked a question one time in Abuja. I said, when was the last time you read your Bible and something from the Bible stepped out and entered you? Somebody complained on Facebook that she noticed that the songs that we sing today are very different from the kind of songs they sang 10 years ago, 20 years ago, that the songs today lack depth. I was like, let me even pay attention to what she's saying. She said, yes. She's my old-time music director. I didn't want to comment because I was very busy. So, listen to it. You see what she's saying. Remember Hezekiah Walker those days. Trust in the Lord at all times. Pour out your heart before him. He was literally, that song, those were different scriptures in the book of Psalms. He was pulling out. Power belongeth to God. God has spoken once and twice have I heard him. Power belongeth to God. Who can search his understanding that is higher than high? All power in his hands. For my life, he has a plan. God has spoken once. The whole thing, different verses that were arranged as a song. Today, everything is chant. Everything is chant. Aya. Aya, oyo, oyo, hey. Aya, ya, 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 ya. Listen to Don Mon. You hear all the lyrics Don Mon will sing. Verse 1, verse 2. You know what? It's not because they wanted to make the song long. Those things are pouring out of depths. Are you hear what I'm saying? They are pouring out of depths, pouring out of soul into your spirit. Look at the hymns. That one is a clear example that I wanted to sing one song, but I'll
find trouble if I do it.
I like it.
But people have yammed the song too much. That's why. Let me sing out of the mic.
I like it. You may not believe it, but we fine. Our generation will be fine.
But my issue now is, how does the fineness relate into the move of God?
Is fineness a criteria to be used by God?
So what is your definition of who is not fine or who is fine?
Sometimes somebody are calling you ugly. It's just more money. It's just who handled the person.
Praise the Lord.
Matthew 25.
Even though, by the way, I still love my our chance. Amen.
I am fire. I am light. I am glory. Supernatural.
Let me tell you something here. Part of the things I will talk about, maybe if I cannot do it in Port Harcourt, I will do it at Christ Life Conference Lagos. The Lord Jesus told me. Jesus said, if ye love me, do what? Eventually, the proof of our love will show. Beyond, music is a part of worship, but not all of worship. It's a very important part. But the real worship will show in consistent decisions that honor God. Decisions that push the kingdom and the fullness of the kingdom forward. Now, hey God, you are light, you are fire. Are we not? So what does light do? Light dispels darkness, right? We shine in darkness. So now, after you sing and declare what you are, carry that anointing somewhere. Look for darkness and dispel. This is why. This is why. There must be. If you are really going to be on fire for God, I will talk about this later in the evening. You must do things that push the front of the kingdom forward. It must result into genuine salvation, solid discipleship, and more disciples raised. It must result into it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Matthew 25 from verse 1. And please, all the songs I mentioned, don't stop singing them. Let me tell you something. Confession is an important part of moving in the anointing. If you're going to walk in the anointing, you have to repeat some things to yourself. I am fire. I am light. I carry the glory of God. Are you with me? But when you stir up all those anointing, don't just sing the song and sit down. Are you with me? After you sing and you are stirred up, go outside and preach. No, go and preach. Carry it and take a soul. Pray for the soul. Praise the Lord. Matthew 25 from verse 1.
It says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom.
Verse 2. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Read on. Just read on. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Now, that means both the wise and the foolish all slept, right? Let me tell you something. For the fact you missed a prayer time, or for the fact at some point in your Christian journey, it looks like you are struggling, it does not mean you are not wise. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because we live in a fallen world, sometimes you have planned to pray in the night and you slept off. It does not mean, now, some people, they allow the gift of that one night they missed, say, I'm not doing it again. And that's how 3 months have gone. They started on fire. But because they were missing, it's better you slept, woke up and started again. Are you with me? So this one, he said all of them slept. All of them were distracted. You know, like I said yesterday, sometimes in the body of Christ, there is a move of God and everybody's just awake. Everybody's praying. Everybody's on fire. After a while, it's as if... So he's telling us here that while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Verse 6. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. So all the virgins trimmed their lamps, right? Verse 8. And the foolish said unto us, give us of the oil, for our lamps are gone out. See verse 9. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. Now, what is the difference between no and not so? Do you realize that the wise virgins that had extra oil did not say no, we will not give you? What did they say? Not so. Meaning that Even if he wanted to give you, this is not the pattern at which it will work. Oh, do you get what I just said? Even if he wanted to give you oil, this is not the way. There are times in your life where you cannot share your own personal work with God with somebody else. The person will need to have his own dealings with God to carry him through that season. Do you hear what I said? Your own dealing with God, your oil at that point cannot work for him. It is what he has built with God on his own that will be able to take him through that season. Are you following me? So they said, they did not say no. They said not so. He says, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Now, the cost here is not money. The cost here is time. What made the wise virgins wise was not because they were awake. It was because before the bridegroom came, they had extra oil. Ah, Jesus. So now, in your work with God, what is that extra thing you are doing spiritually and personally that will carry you in the day where you seem to have even been sleeping? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You need some extra oil for the rainy day. You need extra oil. Say after me, extra oil. And to get this extra oil, you have to take some time. Take some time and soak into God. Take some time and pray. Not every time you're everywhere. Take some time and pray. Seasons are changing. And when you study the Bible, you discover that before every major season in the Bible, there was a season of prayer. A season of extra devotion. So now, before Jesus came on the scene, you know about the 40 days of prayer and fasting, right? 40 days. Hey, God. And the Bible fasts not the way we do our own fast, though. When the Bible says Jesus fasted and prayed for 40 days, a fast in Jewish custom is people prayed for 12 hours. That's what they call a fast. They prayed for 12 hours. And Jesus did 40. Then began ministry. That was like a new season going on. Then he died, resurrected, ascended, left the disciples. Before the Holy Ghost came, they started another 10 days. That 10 days prayer meeting, was not led to the move of the Spirit. I don't think I've seen any conference that was 10 days long. Where you came for the conference day one, you did not leave until after 10 days. Try it in Nigeria and see if they will not attack your church. They will say, what kind of pastor is this? For instance, when God's servants came to say, if you have not prayed for 10 hours, you are a joke. Who else saw that video? They attacked this man. One says, see your head. You are the one that is a joke. And the man said was not even nice, a little. He said, if you are not praying for them as you are like Batman, you are a comic figure. Now, I may not use those words, but you need to get what he's saying. For instance, there are some people that have never experienced what it means to be in sync with God. I mean, you can be in sync with God, and even the very things that were like temptations can no longer tempt you. Not because you are so strong, but you are so strong in him. Let me explain. So, there was a time I was fasting. And this was in the university. I was fasting and praying. And I was supposed to lead the opening prayer for one of the services then, in the school chapel and all of that. And the person that was supposed to come and tell me to lead the prayer, she came. What did she even do? You know, church. She came and said, come on, get out of there. What are you doing there? Prayer is supposed to start. You are talking to a lady. There's something wrong with you. Raining insult on me inside the church. Now, typical me will like, why? Or of course, I'm supposed to be angry. Like, why? Well, I discovered that. I was not bothered why I was not angry. I was like, why am I not bothered by this thing that she's saying? It was later it dawned on me that I am, that period, the way I was, my soul is covered with glory. It cannot touch it. You see this in our generation. Small thing, somebody is depressed. Small thing, you are depressed. See, it's a sign of something is lacking. I know some of them are medical conditions, but there are others that are just spiritual. Somebody drives a Benz, just God, when? What's my life about? Am I a spoon? In fact, I do not know how much the ideology of the Bible has affected me. I was already done with secondary school into university before I discovered that I don't have a phone. I'm telling you, it's true, I don't have a phone. And in a way, I enjoyed it. Because most of that time, our Bible was not on tab or phone. It was hard copy Bible, hard. We'll read. I and those my SU friends who say, clean Bible, dirty Christian. Dirty Bible, clean Christian. Who knows that? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Chapter my devotion. And so, like I was telling you, after Jesus finished his ministry, the apostles prayed, the Holy Ghost came, and they began to walk. After the Holy Ghost came, they still had other prayer meetings. You know, have you ever been in this phase in your life where it seems like you have come to the end of a season? You don't know what's next. You don't know what is next. That time that it looks like heaven is silent, go to prayer. Let me show you something. So, in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Ghost came, the church was born, the church began to grow. But you see, in Acts chapter 5, there was persecution. They had to pray again. In Acts chapter 12, there was division. They had to pray again. By Acts 13, the Antioch church has started. Then you will see what happened in Acts 13. I've shared that here before. But let's look at it. Acts 13. Don't need to open it. Just Acts 13 from verse 2. From verse 1 to 2. It says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manina, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. Verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Now, every time I read this verse, I'm just amazed. They did not say that the apostles sensed that God wanted to speak. Then they went to pray. It was that as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, that means if they did not pray, the Holy Ghost would have had something to say, but there will be nobody to hear. Let me tell you, prayer is like a spiritual Wi-Fi. As you begin to pray, the things God has been trying to say that you are not hearing, you suddenly begin to hear. So as you are praying, you can now begin to sense, okay, God wants me to do this. Sometimes, thoughts that you thought you were sure of, as you pray and check them again, no, I'm not supposed to do this. If you have not gone to this point where you have a prayer engine that helps you define the work of God in your life, something is wrong. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 4 from verse 4, it says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. It means that your life ought to be the result of the word of God in your life. What does that mean? It means people should be able to say, why did you take this step? You can say, I took this step and this step and this step because God said this and this and this. So if we plot the graph of your life over the last 10 years or over the last 15 years, we're supposed to see definite actions that came because God said, and that one led to this, and that one led to this. Those of you who have been around for a while, you will hear us talk about the story of New Reed, right? So God had led us to start church in Port Harcourt, 1st of September 2019. Port Harcourt church was not up to 6 months before the Lord came again and said, we'll start the church in Lagos. That day I was preparing for service, praying. And then I fell into this trance. Saw myself standing in a large crowd. And specifically, I knew this place was Ikeja, close to Opebi. You know the roundabout? Fikayo, you know that roundabout? That Opebi roundabout. Here is Allen. Here is Opebi. Then, Winning Life Christian Center, Gabriel Akimade Plaza. I knew that was where I was. So I stood there, and the crowd was saying, come to Lagos and preach. Come to Lagos and preach. So when the vision cleared away, I'm like, how will I come to Lagos? Where are we going to get hall? Who do we know that will give us hall? Where will they? So I didn't say anything to anybody, and I began to pray. We're just praying. Guess what? The Port Harcourt church was not up to 50, but we're just praying. Lockdown came. Towards the end of lockdown, around August, I started getting calls. Pastor David, are you coming to Lagos? I've been seeing you in my dream. Are you coming to Lagos? Are you coming to Lagos? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people. We say, okay, start the WhatsApp group. We started the WhatsApp group. After a while, we announced again. God has said we should start church. Somebody messaged me. Do you know Torishe? How she found herself to that group. How one thing led to another. Somebody who I preached to in 2007 heard I wanted to start a church. Went and told the family that owns the property and said, there is a young man that must you must give this property to. And I got a call. Are you David, Pastor David? Yes, we have a hall for you. Come and start church. Interestingly, when I got there, I remember that God has shown me that place, that Abuleba place, see, in 2017. Because when God showed me about Agege Pen Cinema in 2017, I went there. But the place did not look like what he showed me. Now it looks like it. As at that time, the bridge had not been built. But in the dream, I saw the bridge. So when I went to Agege Pen Cinema, there was no bridge. Ah, there was no Agbuleba, the flyover. Ah, it did not look like what God said in 2017. But now, exactly as he said it, I can even show you the spot. It's this place. See this place. See this place. Praise the Lord. Same thing with Abuja. Same thing with Lekki. In fact, God spoke to me about Lekki first in 2009. Then I used to stay at Chevron Drive, off Northern Foreshore Estate. You know where Chevron Drive is? Northern Foreshore Estate. I was living with the Wigways then. Painfully, the one that they lost his son. And the Lord said, you will come to Lekki. Lekki. Over time, when you plot the graph of your life, there should be, the Lord said this, and this brought us here. The Lord said this. So now, we want to ask some people, how have you lived? How have you lived? Sometimes, as you start praying and pressing into God, you will discover that some of the steps you took were useless. That's the painful part. That's why, somebody has asked me a question before. Why does God have emphasis on young people? Why is it that God always likes to arrange revivals for young people? You know why? God wants to catch them early before they make plenty mistakes. Before you make plenty quen. And the thing is not like, you know, when there's a thread that has been so twisted, you cannot even. That's why God orchestrates so much for young people. You know, is it Charles Spurgeon or Martin Lloyd-Jones that said it? He said, young people pray. Young people pray so much. Charles Spurgeon. He says, young people pray so much because your strength is so much, but your wisdom so little. He says, pray because you have so much strength, but your wisdom so little. Pray so much that you can tap into an ancient strength, ancient wisdom from God. You know, I can tell you something. This life is deep. Oh my God. This world is deep. This life is deep. If God opens your eyes, you will discover that many things are not the way they seem. Everybody's quiet. Did I offend you? I'm sorry if I did. Praise the Lord. I'm sorry if I did. And let me tell you what I even sense. I sense right now, transition is happening. Okay, God. So many things are going to change, oh. The scope of the body of Christ, the scope of the nations, so many of these things are going to change. So when you see that so many things are happening, things are just, you separate yourself and say, Lord, where is my place? Even as a ministry, so many things are happening. So many things are happening. I cannot tell you I understand everything. I cannot tell you I understand, but I know so many things are happening. So, after I moved to Abuja and I told you about the revolution of the UK. Now, I shared that revolution only once. And obviously, the people I shared it to were our people. A pastor of another church. I don't think I've seen that guy face to face in the last. Have I ever even seen him face to face? I don't think so. A pastor of another church had the revelation. He said he saw a dear sister of ours tending to gardens. And they saw a port. Inside the port was written New Breed Christian Community, UK. Now, I did not see the vision, but out of the blues, I just walked up to her recently and said, you are going to start preaching. I have to start training you for work. Now, in the revelation, they saw her tending to a garden. You know, in this ministry, in New Breed, one of the things we don't play with, you see this thing, what the Holy Ghost. We don't just say transfer, move like this. Before we sent Pastor Ekini to Abuja, God had 6, 7, 8 months before that time, God had been preparing him. So me, I will ask you, what has the Lord been saying to you? If I cannot sense anything strong, we are not going home. By the time we sent him to Abuja, Abuja knew that he came. Pastor Eni, before Lagos Church started, even his wife currently, Pastor Eni and the wife, when New Breed was not even a church, it was still a Bible study group, and we used to study on WhatsApp group. She said she does not even know how somebody added her to the group. And she was like, I'm really blessed by this pastor. Only for her to come and join a church and discover that it's a WhatsApp group that she has been part of for about 4 years, that's the pastor of the church. Praise the Lord.